Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. I'm Pastor Tony Alamo, and if I'm not your pastor, I sure want to be. This is 1 Samuel chapter 12, and there are 25 verses in this chapter. And we've got some letters to read. The Lord led me to, told me to have some letters read on the tapes. So we put a lot of them in our newsletters. And a lot of people are not able to read that much because they're on the road in traffic. Sometimes in Los Angeles, 4, 5, 6 hours a day, and sometimes even more. They don't have time to read, or and traveling salesmen, people like that. So we're doing tapes. So the Lord asked me to do tapes for the to read the Bible and explain it to people. And we get some good letters telling how that these, not only the tapes, but the messages that I've done on paper have won so many souls. So let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father God, you know that the whole world is hurting. We don't need to tell you about that. But we need to tell the entire world about you, because that's the only problem with the world, is that they don't have you. All the world needs is Jesus. Jesus conquers all. Doesn't make any difference how many problems people have, or if they want to commit suicide, or whatever. If they seek Jesus, if they have you, Father, if they have you, Jesus, they've got everything. It's a brand new life, a life of everything, abundance, abundant life here and life immortal, life eternal. Lord, open up everyone's ears, anoint your words, anoint the commentaries and the translation, and let there not be anything done this evening or this morning that is not of you at all. Lord, just take over our tongue and let it be for the winning of souls and for the compounding of yourself within our minds and our spirits. Lord, our mind needs to be filled with you, and our spirits need to be filled with you, your word, you. Lord, we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so now, Michelle, if you've got a couple of letters here, let's read them into the tape. Where did the first one come from?
Sheffield, England.
Sheffield, England, all right.
Dear Pastor, I was an unbeliever till one of my friends gave me some of your literature. After I read it, I felt so good inside that I just can't explain. Your words touch me so deeply that I want to hear more about the Messiah and the Gospel. Please, I would appreciate very much if you send me your book, The Messiah, and one Bible, so I will be able to read and learn more about God. Thank you so much for everything you do for the work of God. Your friend, Sheffield, England.
Okay, and then the other letter is from where?
From Tema, Ghana.
Africa.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, my happy, sincere greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your literatures and for asking us to take part in your compassionate soul-winning ministry. We are missionary pastors, and we have distributed the newsletters, literatures, to our church members, and by the literatures you sent me and my other pastors, it has won about 80 souls for Christ. Pastor Tony, we are building a church here in Ghana. The people are poor here, and we started to give them your literature, and they have changed from their wrongdoings.
You know, I hear all kinds of people tell me, you know, Tony, if you even change one person's life, you've done a lot. Well, you know, right here is 80 people, souls that just got saved at that particular time. And we have people that are, there's 200 souls, and some of them are preaching these messages and reading them in their native language, translating them from the English into crowds of over 1 million people. I saw one evangelist over there the other day in, I forget if it was India or Africa, where there were 3 million people present. 3 million people. And there are large, huge crowds gather in India and in Africa. And they say that they read this literature into their ears, and it's caused a revival over there, so that when other evangelists go into the area, that they flock in also to hear their messages. Some of them, I'm sad to say, are not that scriptural. But go ahead, keep going.
At first, they were lost and hungry for the Word of God. But through your newsletter, Switching Parents, and the Messiah book, a lot of souls are now born again. So we need literature to be able to evangelize and give out to other members and different pastors for the same purpose.
Switching Parents primarily is about how that we need to have a God as our father. You know, like before we're saved, we got Satan is the father of liars, and he's the one that we are begotten of. And then we need to switch parents. And with some people have very ungodly parents that are ruled by Satan. And so it involves switching parents to get to our real parent, the one who created us out of the dirt of the ground and blew his own spirit into us to give us life. And so he's our real parent. Amen?
Amen.
And people should read this piece of literature because, as you can see, it's made a dent in the old devil out there in that area. Okay, and many other areas. Go ahead.
Please send us any type of literature to distribute, some Bibles for members and pastors, and a Bible dictionary, concordance, and other materials for children. We have been praying for you every day, and we also need your prayers to win souls for Christ. May the Lord continue to bless you, and may he anoint you and your church members with oil and blessings. We hope to receive a reply from you very soon. Yours faithfully from Tima Ghana.
All right, praise the Lord. There's the two letters. We'd love to read more into the tape, but then the tapes would get a little bit too long, and we want to. The main thrust here, on top of the letters, is to get the message, then teach the correctness of the Bible. So here's 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 1.
Samuel's farewell address. King James Version, verse 1. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. Verse 2. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Verse 3. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord, and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed?
Have I done anything against you people, in other words, then what?
Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith, and I will restore it you. Verse 4, And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. Verse 5. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. Translation, verse 1 through 5. Samuel's farewell address. Then Samuel addressed the people again, quote, I have done as you asked, and given you a king. Verse 2. I have selected him ahead of my own sons, and I stand here an old gray-haired man. I have served as your leader since I was a boy. Verse 3. Now tell me, as I stand before the Lord and before his anointed one, whose ox or donkey have I stolen? Have I ever cheated any of you? Have I ever oppressed you? Have I ever taken a bribe? Tell me, and I will make right whatever I have done wrong. Unquote. Verse 4, quote, No, they replied, You have never cheated or oppressed us in any way, and you have never taken even a single bribe. Unquote. Verse 5, quote, The Lord and his anointed one are my witnesses, Samuel declared, that you can never accuse me of robbing you. Unquote. Quote, Yes, it is true, they replied. King James Version, verse 6. And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Verse 7. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. Verse 8. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. Verse 9. And when they forgat the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. Verse 10. And they cried unto the Lord, and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee.
In order to have blessings, you have to be walking in a state of blessedness. It's impossible for God to bless you if you're not in a state of being of blessedness. If you walk in the Spirit, where the Lord, and you're remembering the Lord all the time, then you're in a position to where God can bless you. But if you're not walking in the way that the Lord tells you that you must walk, which is the state of blessedness, you can't be blessed. Anyone that thinks that they can be blessed and they're walking out of the state of blessedness are just fooling yourself, but you won't be fooled long, because the Lord, when you're not walking in the state of blessedness, you're walking in a state of cursing, and the Lord will curse you. And that's strict, that's very, very, very plain Bible teaching. Amen? So in order to be blessed, you must be walking in the blessing of the Lord. You can't. God doesn't bless if you're not in the Spirit. And then what? And then when you're out of the Spirit, and especially in the New Testament now, and you keep walking that way, Satan is so powerful and deceptive when you're out of the Spirit of God that you are no match for him. And he usually people get so blinded by him that they can't ever get back to the Lord. Because if he can get you on a path where you're not really walking in the Spirit, and he continues to keep throwing you like a wrestler, he keeps throwing you on the ground, and you know that you're wrong, and you learn it, but you still keep maintaining your stand with the devil, pretty soon you'll be so blinded by him that you won't be able to get back on the path of blessings. And therefore, you'll never be right with the Lord here, and you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. So it's extremely important for people to maintain their walk, to stay in a blessed state, so that God can continue to bless you, and that you're never blinded by the powers of Satan. Only in Christ are we a match, more than a match for Satan. But out of the Lord, Satan is more than a match for us. Amen? Amen. So stay in the Lord, little children. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be deceived. God tells you these things. If you think that the things that the Lord tells you are false, then you're mocking God. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, if you sow into darkness, you're going to reap darkness. Okay? If you're going to sow into self, what you want, then you're going to get what you don't want. And that's an eternity in hell and cursings every day of your life here on this earth. And some people are so blinded, the minds, the Bible says that Satan has blinded the minds. And they're so blind that they don't even know that they're cursed until it's too late. the Lord, people don't backslide or they don't go to hell overnight. Satan just keeps working and working on people. That's his method. And so the Lord's method for us, and he's taught us, that's what he came to earth for, was to teach us what his method was. And his method is to keep our minds stayed upon the Lord. And don't forget God. Because he that forgets God, the Lord, God says, I'll tear you to pieces. Amen. And then some people, when they're being torn to pieces, they don't realize their minds are so blinded that it's God doing it to them. And they can't think spiritually. Therefore, they're not rational. And they can't figure out why they're being cursed. They can't figure out why God is not blessing them because their minds are so confused. But those who keep their mind upon the Lord shall have perfect peace and a sound mind. Amen? So you have to make your... We all have been given a will to do what the Lord says, or to walk in the blessings, or to walk in the cursings. And you'd think people would be smart enough saying, oh, I want to be blessed instead of cursed. And then we read the Bible and see how to be blessed. And yet they forget that as though it were not true. Strange. Okay, continue.
Verse 11. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safe.
These people were smart enough to, when they were cursed, that they knew to cry out to God, because in him, there's no salvation in anyone else but him. Where else are you going to run to? So if you're going through some kind of trial or tribulation or something that you really can't stand, just ask God to stop it. Amen? The world has seen enough Christianity. You know, the major Christians today say, you don't need, you're not to discipline your children and everything. That's the opposite of the Bible. We don't need any more Christianity. We need Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
The Word. Amen?
Yeah.
Forget about this Christianity stuff that these people are saying on television. Just receive Christ. He's our everything. He's the Word of God. Just do what he says, and you'll see that everything will be blessed. Blessed assurance. Jesus, not Christianity, is mine. But blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen? You don't need healing. You need the healer. You don't need salvation, you need the Savior. If you've got the Savior and the healer, you've got salvation and healing. Amen?
Amen.
If you've got Jesus, you've got mercy. Forget about Christianity. Have Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible doesn't say have salvation. It says, it doesn't say come unto salvation. It says come unto Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He's the Savior. You come unto Christ and you'll be saved. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Come unto Jesus and you'll be saved. And when you need healing, come unto Jesus and you'll be healed. When you need prosperity, come unto Jesus. He is prosperity. When you need victory, he says, I have overcome the world. All you need is Jesus. Just have him, the great I am. All right? And when you need power, all power in heaven and on earth, everywhere in the universe belongs to him. So just come unto Jesus. And you've got it all. Amen?
Amen.
He's the fullness of the Godhead in one body inside you. If you'll receive him. If you don't receive him, you're cursed. Keep going.
Verse 12, and when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, Ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Verse 13. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. Verse 14. If ye will fear the Lord, and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord.
Yeah, that if you will. If you'll serve him and obey him. Amen?
Amen.
And serve him and obey him. That's a big, little word with a big meaning. But if you don't, then what? Okay, let's go ahead and read it.
Then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God.
Yeah, but so still the Lord wants to be the king's king. Amen? Because if the king does what the Lord says, then it's the nation still has God as their king. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 15. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you.
Oh, but see, they say, no, God never comes against his people. This is the Bible, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So don't believe those devils. Then what?
Then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers.
Yeah, and what did he do to their fathers? What did he do to them? Didn't he kill them?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, then what?
Verse 16. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Verse 17, is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king.
To a farmer, that's one of the worst things that could ever happen, is that it would rain during harvest. It's supposed to be dry so you can get out there and harvest. If it's a big mud, you can't get out there and do anything. And it just beats, the rain beats down all the harvest, and it's lost. Or if there's a drought, that's another bad one. That's another baddie. Then what?
Verse 18. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel.
Yeah, that's something, you know, people really don't think about, well, that's a bad thing. That's what they ate. If you don't have any food, then there's a famine. Amen?
Amen.
And so they feared God as he's taking the food away from them. That's one of the things that Solomon had he designated in his officials is a huge amount of people to just bring food to his table. Because he had so many people on his staff. And he had a harem that wouldn't quit, like 700 wives and 300 concubines. And they ate a lot. Amen?
Amen.
Lots of meat and spuds. Okay, then what?
Verse 19.
All kinds of other delicacies like game hens and things like that. Hundreds and hundreds of them every day. So it was important to Solomon to eat. And you know, you take the spoon, knife, and fork and spoon out of your hands and put a lock on the cupboards. And then maybe some of you would start crying out to God too. And you'd start fearing God. Well, that's what happened here. The rain came and the thunder. And that was a fearful thing because it just never rains in harvest. Unless there's God's angry at you. Okay, then what?
Verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king.
You know, see, people can preach to you, and you just listen to it like a bunch of slobs. You know, like you just, you know, grandmas and so on. But here the Lord put a lot of emphasis on Samuel's preaching. He let it thunder and rain on the harvest, okay? To add a little emphasis, so to speak. Okay, right?
Right.
They didn't look in a bored way or didn't have to pry an amen out of them or anything like that, like some slobs I know. But they really got going. Amen?
Amen.
And what verse was that now?
That was 19.
Okay.
Verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Translation, verse 6 through 20. Quote, It was the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron, Samuel continued. He brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt. Verse 7. Now stand here quietly before the Lord as I remind you of all the great things the Lord has done for you and your ancestors.
Because it's obviously you weasels have forgotten. You don't know. You know, sometimes the Lord sends in like incredible amounts of finances. He'll heal people of cancer, and yet people stick their stupid noses up at him and don't even say amen. Ain't you something? Okay, then what? You really pompous toad, you. Then what?
Verse 8, quote, When the Israelites were in Egypt and cried out to the Lord, he sent Moses and Aaron to rescue them from Egypt and to bring them into this land. Verse 9. But the people soon forgot about the Lord their God. So he let them be conquered by Sisera, S-I-S-E-R-A, the general of Hazor's army, and by the Philistines and the king of Moab. Verse 10. Then they cried to the Lord again and confessed, quote, We have sinned by turning away from the Lord and worshiping the images of Baal and Ashtoreth, but we will worship you and you alone if you will rescue us from our enemies. Unquote. Verse 11. Then the Lord sent Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, bracket, Gideon again is another name for Jerubbaal, and bracket, to save you, and you lived in safety. Verse 12. But when you were afraid of Nahash, the king of Ammon, you came to me and said that you wanted a king to reign over you, even though the Lord your God was already your king. Verse 13. All right, here is the king you have chosen. Look him over. You asked for him, and the Lord has granted your request. Verse 14. Now if you will fear and worship the Lord and listen to his voice, if you do not rebel against the Lord's commands, and if you and your kin follow the Lord your God, then all will be well. Verse 15. But if you rebel against the Lord's commands and refuse to listen to him, then his hand will be against you, as heavy upon you as it was upon your ancestors. Verse 16. Now stand here and see the great thing the Lord is about to do. Verse 17. You know that it does not rain at this time of the year during the wheat harvest. I will ask the Lord to send thunder and rain today. Then you will realize how wicked you have been in asking the Lord for a king! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 18. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain. And all the people were terrified of the Lord and of Samuel. Verse 19. Quote, Pray to the Lord your God for us, or we will die! Exclamation mark. They cried out to Samuel. For now we have added to our sins by asking for a king. Unquote. Verse 20. Quote, Don't be afraid, Samuel reassured them. You have certainly done wrong, but make sure now that you worship the Lord with all your heart, and that you don't turn your back on him in any way. King James Version, verse 21. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. Verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way.
Yeah, a lot of people, they they see people in the church sinning or doing things that are not right, and instead of having patience with them, they start wanting to destroy their souls. And they'll start counseling them when they're not even counselors. And the Lord is the one that says that that we should pray for those people. And Samuel did that. He said, I know you're all wrong, but I still keep praying that God will do something to you to where it'll make you start serving him. All right? And so he didn't try to destroy them, or he didn't want to send their souls to hell by abusing them in any way, but he prayed constantly to the Lord for them. Amen? As we're cautioned to do for one another in the New Testament as well. Okay, then what?
Verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Verse 25. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king.
Wow, so he's saying that you'll be consumed, you and your king, if you do wrong. And did the king do wrong?
Yes.
And did he get consumed?
Yes.
So Samuel wasn't lying, was he?
No.
Told him the truth, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. And many of them were consumed as well. All right, then, go ahead. That was verse 25, right?
Right. Translation.
Now the translation.
Verse 21 through 25. Don't go back to worshiping worthless idols that cannot help or rescue you. They really are useless! Exclamation mark. Verse 22. The Lord will not abandon his chosen people, for that would dishonor his great name. He made you a special nation for himself. Verse 23. As for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you. And I will continue to teach you what is good and right. Verse 24. But be sure to fear the Lord and sincerely worship him. Think of all the wonderful things he has done for you. Verse 25. But if you continue to sin, you and your king will be destroyed. Unquote.
Right, if you think about all the wonderful things that the Lord has done and is still doing for us, I mean, how could you get your mind off of him? Because if you do, all this will end. All of it will end. As it did on the ridge when everyone forgot about him and was doing everything that they wanted to do themselves. And they had their own grievances and they just went around with a chip on their shoulder all the time. And that is not the way to be if you want to be blessed by the Lord. God had every one of them thrown off the property. Every single one of you. Okay? Now, people should learn a lesson, but I realize, as God does, that your mind is made out of the dirt of the ground, but many people have fallen away and have never walked again with the Lord because they couldn't take it. They just say, well, yeah, we have more rest if we're not here at the church. That's right. You can just do your own thing out there. You can lay around if you want to. Amen? But here, this church has been called to work the works of Christ. And Christ didn't sit around idle with his feet upon a desk and calling shots and everything. He was out there healing people from early in the morning till the sun went down. And even after that. And he kept working, because here on this side of eternity, we're supposed to work, and in eternity, we go into eternal rest. Amen? Yes. So we're to do the works of the Lord. And he said, greater works would you do than I did. So there's more work to do now because it's closer to the end of time. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord is living and working in more of us these last days. And if you fall away, that's no big deal, because there's a lot of people that's going to fall away. There's people listening to me right now that will not be here a year or two from now. Susie predicted that half the congregation would be gone eventually, because you could tell they were not of the Lord. Because every time they wanted to get they didn't like what Sue or I was doing or somebody in the church, they just, you know, start running amok. And we knew they weren't going to stand. And half the church has fallen away already. And now it's building up again. It's been building up again. We're having to buy more homes and build more homes and get more storages and all sorts of things. But, you know, the persecution comes, or if things are not going exactly your way, what you're supposed to do is get a hold of the Lord. Amen? So you can stay in a state of blessedness. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, good. Okay, so now let's... that was the 20 verses of chapter 12, and now we've got some commentary. Amen?
12, verse 1. This is the chapter that marks the end of the era of the judges represented in Samuel. Political power now resides in the king. Even the office of prophet is subservient to the king. Even the prophets are subject to the king. That's what they wanted. 12, verse 2 through 6. And Samuel's administration was completely upright. Their rejection of him was also a rejection of God, or Yahweh, who had provided Moses and Aaron and all the other national rulers. 12, verse 10. Baals and Ashtoreth were Canaanite nature gods. Baal was often identified with Dagon. See notes on chapter 5, verse 2. 12, verse 11. Jerubbaal was another name for Gideon. You can see that in Judges chapter 6, verse 32. 12, verse 12 through 13. Samuel always made a contrast between their rejection of God as your king, unquote, and, quote, the king whom you have chosen, unquote. 12, verse 14 through 15. An obedient heart, not the form of government, brings the blessing of God. 12, verse 17.
I mean, yeah, that's right. How could a government bring forth the blessing of the Lord? It's an obedient heart. Because everybody in the whole government, in the whole world, can be against God. But if there's just one person, that's the only one that's going to be blessed. Okay? And if that, you know, it's just amazing to me when I read chapter 11 in the book of Revelation, how that there's only two people be serving the Lord. Only two people, the two witnesses. And some false prophets say, well, it's because the Lord has taken the church away and so on and so forth like that and left these two prophets down here. Ah, that isn't true. But no one came forth to bury these two people or to give them a funeral or anything like that. They just let them lay out there. So there's not what I call real strong Christians at all that would come forth like Nicodemus did or Joseph of Arimathea. Amen? It may have come at night, one of them and the other one, but one of them came to claim the body. Amen?
Amen.
He could have been killed himself by doing such a thing. Is that right? Do you remember who that was? They came and got the body of Jesus. Yeah, Joseph of Arimathea. Amen?
Amen.
There was an actual gospel written about him. The Gospel of Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah, there's a record of him. More than what's in the Bible. And it's beautiful. I've read it. Okay, then what?
Wheat harvest was early summer, and thunder and rain were unheard of at this season. 12, verse 22 through 24. Samuel understood that God can bring redemption to areas where men have brought potential disaster by their own wrong motives. 12, verse 14 through 15. Life is filled with choices, and the Bible is filled with clear direction on how to make those choices, on how to make decisions in line with God's will. A wise decision maker always shows proper respect to God and his instructions.
Yeah, don't be listening to these false prophets on television. They'll say that God wants you to have a good time and to enjoy this world and so on and so forth. What is that, the theme of Joyce Meyer? She says, we're going to have, but the Lord wants you to enjoy today or something like that. Yeah, enjoying everyday life. You could say it that way if you put it in its proper perspective by saying, we can enjoy Christ. Amen?
Amen.
If you enjoy Christ every day, then you're enjoying every day. But not everyday life. There's only one life, and Jesus is the life. Amen?
Amen.
So how could, if she would say, yeah, if to enjoy everyday life, you are enjoying Christ every day and Him only. Amen?
Amen.
But no, they're saying to go out and have a ball. Jesus wants you to go and get nice clothes and go and do this and do it. I don't read that in the Bible, do you?
No.
It's all right to have, but that isn't what the Lord called us to do. Or He didn't call us to be grumpy. You know, but I enjoy the Lord every day. Amen? Because He's the life. But it's not everyday life. There's some people that, that preach that God just wants to bless everybody, or He is blessing everybody. That's contrary to Scripture. Amen?
Amen.
There's very few of us that are really enjoying Christ on a daily basis. And examine your life to see if you enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Or are you enjoying the world? That's what she's talking about, is enjoy the world on a daily basis. When the Bible says, enjoy Christ on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? The world is the opposite of Christ. Go ahead.
When we follow God's instructions, this means that we are worshiping and serving Him and obeying His commands. 12 verse 14. A poor decision maker is one that will not listen to God's instruction or His pathway or His will, and will fail to keep God's desires and requirements in focus. 12 verse 15.
Yeah, people are so concerned about what they want during the day instead of what does the Lord desire today. Amen?
Amen.
I always get up and say, Lord, what do you want me to do first? Should I take a shower? Or should I go work out first? Or should I read? Or should I write? Or should I go out into the office now? Or what? Then He'll say, well, go work out, you know? Because if you don't, you're not going to get to work out the rest of the day. So I'll run right over there to the gym. Should I brush my teeth first, Lord? He never really, you know, just go to the gym. And then when I come back, and what I should do then, okay, do a message. Okay, and then after that, what should I do? And go in and do some tapes. And then after that, what should I do? For the sake of the people around you, take a shower. And then what?
Following God's will reap positive long-term consequences, His blessings. Even though it may look difficult in the short run, we still have to not only have faith, but believe in what the Lord tells us to do. Because having faith is one thing, but if we run into some difficulties, or it doesn't look as though the Lord is going to do what He said He would do, we have to still believe that He is going to do it. Otherwise, we don't have the maturity of faith that we need.
Right. If the Lord tells you you're going to get $1 trillion and it didn't happen today or tomorrow or the next day, if He said He's going to do it, He's going to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Okay, then what? Or if He tells you, go over and pray for that person, I'm going to heal him. I'm going to go over there and pray for the person. I believe that the person is healed already. Amen?
Amen.
By His stripes we are healed. To those that walk in blessedness. But if you're not paying any attention to the Lord, then you're walking in cursedness. And you cannot, walking in cursedness, receive anything that is blessedness. That's just the way it is. That's the way the Lord called it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so then what else?
Faith must be coupled with belief. We have normal senses. We are not to look at the way things look with our carnal eyes or with our regular eyes, our senses. But we are to believe God that no matter what our senses tell us, that we have to have faith to believe that God is going to do it, no matter how horrible it looks to our eyes.
Why, it's just like we had that man the other night. I mean, the doctor said, you're dead. You're not going to make it home even. His body, he's breathing through his neck, this foul odor, and it looks like it's just skin stretched over bones. And he is, he just knows he's going to die. But I told him, don't believe what the doctors say. Don't believe what your body is saying. I don't care how horrible you look. Your body is lying to you, because Jesus said, by my stripes, you were healed. And so you don't need the doctors, and your body is healed already by the Lord. And I went through the whole message with him, and then I just told him to receive. He stood up and praised the Lord. And this, I think, is the 10th day. And he was so weak, he could not even hold his head up. It was down. And he for sure couldn't stand. He immediately stood up. And now Buster tells me that he's walking all over the house on his own. We're nursing him back to health. I mean, because he's healed. And you still have to nurse a person back to health. You can't be not love your neighbor. He says, who is our neighbor? Well, then the Lord gives them the parable of the Good Samaritan. Amen. Somebody that's truly, unconditionally concerned about you. Amen?
Amen.
You're laying in a ditch, you don't go over and say, are you Catholic or Protestant? Or are you a Christian or a communist? Or all these different things. No, you just go down there, you see somebody, it's a human being that God created out of the dirt of the ground, you go down there and help them. Amen?
Yeah.
You minister to them. And then the Lord calls that being concerned about your neighbor. Okay? There's a church out in Falk, Arkansas, that if you are not the white, they won't let you come to that church. I mean, you know, and the Lord says that we all have one blood, and that you're supposed to preach the gospel to every nation, amen?
Amen.
But no, they won't let you come in. They say that blackbirds run with blackbirds, bluebirds run with bluebirds, robins run with robins, and these white birds, us, we and rednecks, we just stay here together. All right, and so that's not Christianity. Amen?
Amen?
They have faith, they say, in the Word of God, but they don't really know God. That's not God. Amen?
Amen.
And that teaching, that isn't God. Go ahead, then. What else?
Disobedience to God's revealed instructions will definitely lead us into the bondage of Satan again. We will definitely need to be delivered from that. And we pray that it will not be so evil that your faith and belief will be so poor that you will not be able to recover. 12:20.
Yeah, make sure that everybody prays for the people at that church. I mean, because if they don't stop that, they're going to be in hell, in the lake of fire. All right? Because that's Antichrist, anti the Word of God. Then what?
Samuel exhorted the Israelites to not be afraid and to hang in there, to continue on in faith and in belief. No matter how terrible it was, God said he would deliver them if they would obey him.
See, so like this man was so terribly infected with cancer, and then he's also spit up two big chunks of cancer, and he's real bright and cheery all day long. This is going on the, I think, 11th or 12th day, isn't it? Something like that. And he wasn't even supposed to make it home. So, I believe God. It doesn't make any difference how horribly, even if the man is dead. If God said, the man, go and pray for that man to raise from the dead, I believe he'll do it. Okay, now, everybody that's in the soil right now that's buried, and their ashes are sprinkled out at sea, God's going to raise every one of them up from the dead. And so, if God's going to do all that, he can do everything. Anything he wants. Amen?
Amen.
Except lie, die, and fail. What else?
They had faith to go out to war, but when things looked too bad, then they lost their belief. No matter how rough it gets, we have to believe. He was calling the people to persevere in recovering from the former failures that they had. He didn't discourage them or downplay the past because of their sins. In fact, he reminded them of it. But he also called them to escape the mire of guilt and past failure, and to have faith that the Lord, if they repented, would deliver them. They had to believe that, no matter how big the army was coming against them. He emphasized the positive and downplayed the negative, saying, quote, "Make sure now that you worship, bracket, that you serve, and bracket, God with all your heart, and that you don't turn your back on him in any way," unquote. Don't doubt him or disbelieve him in any way. It is important to recognize the things that we have done that were against God in the past sins that we did in our life. But it is even more important to look ahead to a positive future as you come to your senses and begin obeying the Lord and doing what he says. As the process continues, it is most important to remember that a new life is not built overnight. It's built the minute that we have faith to believe what the Lord says, no matter what the circumstances are.
All right, no matter what the circumstances are, if the Lord says, this is the way it is, that's the way it is. If he said, pray for people and they shall recover, then I believe that I believe in God, I believe in the Word of God, and I believe, when I pray for somebody, I believe that they're going to recover. Because these are the signs that shall follow those who believe, and I believe. All right? And the man has recovered, hasn't he?
Yes.
Okay? There's no denying that. There was a crowd of people over there when they had to almost drag him into the building. He was so heavy. And say, well, you're going to keep mentioning that miracle? Why not? God did it. Amen?
Amen.
I think it's significant.
Amen.
Amen. And then he endorsed the church, and all kinds of people, such as lawyers and judges and everybody, are hearing that testimony. And they know that Buster's not a liar. Amen?
Amen.
And so they could see, they knew the man that is dying. They saw him in that condition that he was in. And now they see him walking around just as spry as can be, and praising the Lord and saying, make sure you thank Tony for praying for me. Make sure you ask everybody at the church to thank them for praying for me. And I really thank and praise God with all my heart and soul, because I know God touched me. But you know, if people get discouraged because something doesn't happen their way, those people are never going to make it, because they just, they're idol worshipers. Yeah, they just want things to go their way, or else they're not going to serve the Lord. That's all there is to it. Their mind is not on the Lord. Their mind is on themselves. And that's what I'm saying in this message this evening, is get your mind off of yourself, because you idolize yourself, I reckon, and any other thing that you're looking at in this world, because all we need is Jesus. There's a song that says, all we need is love. Rat-da-da-da-da. All we need is love. Yep, but up, but up. Yes, all we need is love, love. But, you know, God is love. Amen?
Amen.
And God, so all you need is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, because somebody can love you, but they can't heal you. Somebody can love you, but they're not the Savior. They can't save you. Somebody can love you, and they're just dirt poor. And they can't give you a nickel. But Jesus gives us everything. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to keep our mind on the Lord. It says if we do that, then all the lusts that are in our body, even the lust of gain and so on, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh wants everything that it sees. I've got a little daughter. I can't take her into the store. She's just young, just like kids are. And she wants everything. She wants this, she wants that, she wants this and that, and this and that, and this and that. And she really doesn't need it. She wants more stuffed animals and all kinds of stuff, and she's got more stuffed animals than we know what to do. We're going to have to build another house to get them all in there. Either we move out of the house or the stuffed animals move out. Okay, so, but all she really needs is chastis, amen?
Amen.
And she's got a really cold tonight, and I just pray that everybody will pray for her. And we're starting to really, you know, tell her, look, you know, you don't need that. You don't need that. Okay, you already have some of those. Amen? And so I'm sure, you know, that everyone has children like that, but we got to point them to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And she'll find out, and everyone will find out later in life, that no matter what you get, it's not going to satisfy your soul, and it can't do anything for you. Those little stuffed animals, don't you think that my little girl is wise enough to know that those stuffed animals can't heal her? So she comes to me for healing. She says, Daddy, will you pray for me to Jesus? I say, yes. Okay, and then I pray to the Lord. And I said, but still, even the Good Samaritan has to give him orange juice, a little bit of orange juice, and not much, because it'll rot their teeth out and there's too much sugar in it. And to give him some tea and some chicken soup and all the other stuff that people give children when they're health food people give to their children, people of the Lord give them, to get them all healed up. And the main thing is that Jesus, all she needs is Jesus, because he already healed her. Amen?
Amen.
And so just keep your mind on the Lord. You know, this world is pulling and pulling and pulling and causing everybody to be feeling sorry for themselves because they don't have all the things of the world. But the Lord takes care of even the little sparrows. Amen?
Amen.
He feeds them. And so it doesn't make any difference how much silver or gold you have or how little you have of it. Just remember in his word how he feeds the little birds. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So let's think about that, you know, and meditate on that all the day long, all night long, and have peace and comfort and joy and happiness. Amen?
Amen.
And until chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, this is your pastor, and if I'm not, I want to be. And I'm going to be whether you like it or not, because I always bring the gospel to the world out there. You know, we put these messages on your car windows. Have you ever experienced that? Been doing it for a lot of years, so... Until chapter 13, God bless you and praise the Lord.